Amen. Amen. Well, glory to God. The Lord is faithful. He is always faithful, isn't he? Aren't you glad that no matter what you're going through, he's faithful? Can you just say that out loud? Say, God is faithful. Say, God is faithful to me.
God is faithful to me.
Yes, he is. Say, God is faithful to my family. Go ahead and say that. It's good to speak those words out loud. Amen. He is faithful to my family. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been talking about grace and truth and some lessons and some nuggets that we're kind of pulling out of 2 Timothy. So go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 1 is where we began last week. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we picked up verse 7 seemed to be a key last week. Let's believe God together as we approach his word. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you have the ability to change us, to challenge us, to help us. Father, I thank you that your word has life-giving power, and that every time we come to your word, that you can either strengthen a belief we have about you, or, God, you can help us to see something new, a new side of what you want to reveal to us so that we can live for your glory and bring others to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Again, we're looking at 2 Timothy through the lens of grace and truth. Grace and truth. You know, I've said this many times from this pulpit, that grace is not, sometimes people kind of look at it as just God's unmerited favor. And although that's part of it, it's much more than that. It's God's ability to do inside of you what you can't do yourself. You know, God's power, his passion, his ability to help you live a Christian life. You know, so often we just kind of give in to the flesh and say, well, that's just because I'm human. And we just give in. We give in to fear. Well, you know, I'm a worrier. I came from a long line of worriers. I'm just supposed to worry. My great-grandma had a PhD in worrying. And so what happens is we sort of sign off on certain human characteristics that God wants us to kind of move past by his grace. By his grace. Not to be condemned. You know, if you do get in fear, you don't get condemned by it. You just feed along the lines of something that will take that fear out. I love one of the lines of the songs that we were singing earlier in worship that said, "All my fears and doubts, they can come here too, but they just can't stay long when I'm here with you." You see, when we invite Christ and we invite Jesus into those spaces of uncomfortableness, of pain, personal pain, of difficulty, of doubt, anxiety, worry, fear, we invite God into those moments. He is able to show us, verse 7, he has not given you a spirit of fear. You see, deep down inside, we can be people of courage even if we have fear up here. I said that last week, that sometimes you can have fear going on up here. And deep down inside, you can have courage. You can have a strength. You can have a boldness that actually speaks and gives a voice to the courage and gives a voice to the faith that actually opens your mouth. And I told you the testimony of the young man that bullied me when I was in high school, and how that, you know, I had fear up here, but down here there was a boldness. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. Just turn with me quickly there. Daniel 11 verse 32. And I believe that this will be a blessing to you when you're walking through. Again, we're looking at 2 Timothy through the lens of grace and truth. "For those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery." Look at what the second part of that verse says. "But the people who know their God will be strong and carry out exploits. The people who know, the Hebrew word there is yada. It is an intimate knowledge. It's a face-to-face knowledge. Going back to the song that we sang in worship, you know, all my fears and doubts, they can come here too, but they can't stay long when I'm here with you. See, the people who know their God have an intimate acquaintance with God. They have the moment that is just precious. You know, you can go through difficult times, but it's those precious times of worship. It's those private things that only you and God know about. Driving down the street and just the presence of God overwhelming you and the goodness of God overwhelming you, and you begin to sense His presence right there in your car. I want you to think through that as we look through this passage here, that He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power. That's of grace. That's speaking of grace right there. Love and a sound mind. In other words, love and a sound mind is, one translation says, and self-control. Self-control. It's not just sound mind, oh, I'm healthy mentally. It is, I have the ability to control, self-control, all of these fears, all of these doubts, all of these worries, because I can cast those down. I can push them out of my life. I can, sometimes you have to keep doing it. It's not a one and done thing. All right. It's every day. Jesus said every day will have trouble of its own. So don't worry about tomorrow. Right? So those troubles come every single day. You have grace for the moment. This morning is, you know, obviously our family is going through some things with my father-in-law. And during that time, you know, I woke up this morning and we had really, really went to bed really late last night. And I woke up this morning and the first thought that came to me, as we're going to face today, and I knew I was preaching and you know, Christine standing by the phone, the first thought that came to me was grace for the moment. That came to me so strong. I'm sharing that intimate part of my walk with God with you. Because sometimes you need that too. You need that grace for the moment when you go through the difficulty. When you go through the difficulty with a family member, when you go through the difficulty with a child, when you go through the difficulty with a coworker or a friend or your finances, it's grace for the moment. It's not, He doesn't give you grace for it all in one shot. Why? Because we got to keep coming back to get to know Him. We got to keep coming back to the source. Do you remember when manna fell from heaven? Those who would try to gather up the manna ahead of time, it didn't work. They had to go out daily and get that manna. You know, when we have the walk with God, it is a daily thing. It's a daily thing to give Him those fears and doubts and worries. But it's also, it's on us to actually seek that out. I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about tapping into God's system and the way God wants us to do it. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Notice what it said in verse 8. Therefore, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoners. Share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Now, going back to those verses that I just read, the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is part of that grace walking out in your life. It's part of that truth walking out in your life. You know, we can sing, He's the way, the truth, and the life, and I believe. right? That's what he said. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's a bold statement. It's a statement that in our society, in our culture right now, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear, well, how arrogant of you to think Jesus is the only way. What about Buddha? What about Muhammad? What about, and they've got all kinds of things that they want to tell you. And they say, how arrogant of you to think that Jesus is the only way. I didn't write it. And Jesus was the one who said it. And he embodied it. And he proved it. And so when we have that testimony, then it's, verse 8 says, and don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of that. It's to be able to proclaim that to those around us. To be able to proclaim that the gospel truly does transform lives. The truth of the gospel is here, and the grace to live out the gospel is here. We've got to have both. Because if I don't have the grace, I can't live out this bold life. The grace, again, is God's power, his passion, his ability to do inside of me what I can't do. I can't always live for God, not in my flesh. Because I know that if I give in and sow to my human flesh, what am I going to reap? Death. I'm going to reap death. It may not be death physically. It could be. If I decide to give in to, say, a drug addiction or something like that, or I get behind of a car and I'm drunk and I wrap it around a tree, it could end in death. Just because I wanted something to feel good. It could. But the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Teaches us to say no to live according to truth. What does the psalmist write? He says, thy word is truth. So when we live according to the gospel, we live according to the word of God. That's where that testimony of Christ. Now, I love what it said there. To share with me in the sufferings for the gospel. You know, a lot of times, religion sometimes will teach us and say, well, suffering is being poor. And trust me, I have been without, and it's not fun. It is. It is a suffering. But that's not the suffering it's talking about here. I've been sick before. And that is a suffering, but that's not what the suffering is talking about. The suffering here is not talking about sickness. It's not talking about having financial lack. It's not talking about having no home over your, no roof over your head. The suffering here is suffering for the gospel's sake. It's suffering for the fact that I believe in Jesus and I'm going to stand up for him no matter what. It could cost me relationships. I know it did for me. I lost friends immediately when I decided to follow Jesus. Many of them I never had a chance to really regain any kind of relationship or friendship with again. Some of them I had an opportunity to share the gospel with them, and some of them actually became Christians. And so, suffering is when you suffer for doing what is right, living according to truth, and taking a stand for the gospel. You know, when we think about people suffering, I'm reminded of how many Christians suffer all over the world for just being Christians. Just being Christians. You know, our church actually sponsors a work, and it is an underground church in a country in Asia where it is illegal to be a Christian. And we have for several years sponsored this particular church. They meet in secret. Sometimes the pastors have been beat. They have closed down the church. They've arrested the pastor. All because they know Jesus. And they proclaim what we so freely sang earlier in the service. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. That is suffering. When you talk to Marcia Francis, and she's here, it's always great to see Marcia. She makes quite an effort to come drive here. She's been a part of our church since the first service. And Marcia has been going to a conference for many years. I don't know if she went to the most recent one because of pandemic, who knows. But you can talk to her. She's been to a conference that talks about the suffering of the believers in Middle Eastern countries all over the world. And it is put on by the Voice of Martyrs. If you ever get a chance to check out that online, Voice of Martyrs, it's an organization that actually tracks the persecution of Christians all across the globe. And they even help with resources, with underground church, and things of that nature. So Marcia has probably some information that she could probably get you. Wave your hand at us, Marcia, so that everybody knows who you are.
And, can I say
and she, yeah, Marcia.
I brought 10 prayer guides this week for Voice of the Martyrs, and if anyone wants
to. And I didn't even know you were going to do that.
Wow.
Praise God. I did not even know she was going to do that. She brought 10 prayer guides for Voice of the Martyrs. She's got them with her. So after church, you can just see Marcia, and she can help you if you're interested in that. If you're watching online, go ahead and just Google Voice of the Martyrs, and you'll go right to their website. Praise God. So, persecution, suffering according to the power of God. I love this. Who is verse 9, who saved us, called us with a holy calling, not with our works, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And you know, as we as a family continue to walk through things that are going on with my stepfather-in-law, the other thought came to me this morning as I was here in church and we were praying. I walked down the aisle right here. I was just thinking about all the turmoil, like mentally, you know, emotionally, you get all these things that are going on in your head. And I was praying. And I felt like this phrase came out to me, even in death, we win. Even in death, we win. And I thought, devil, you're such a liar. You know, even in death, the believer wins. I mean, think about that. The Apostle Paul said, to be absent from the body is but to be present with the Lord. So even in death, the believer has a hope. That's why the Apostle Paul can say to those who grieve, he says, don't grieve like the rest of men. He's not saying don't grieve. He's not saying that. He's saying, don't grieve like everybody else, because you have hope, and it's the hope of the resurrection. And notice what verse 10 says, and but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that what I have committed to him until that day. What a powerful statement. I know whom I believe. I know whom I have believed. I know he is able. He's able. Did you notice the he part in that? He's able. He's able inside of you. He's able inside of you. Just like it says in 1 John, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When Christ is living big on the inside of you, you can echo what the Apostle Paul is saying right here. Right here when he says, For I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded. In other words, I'm convinced. You can't talk me out of this. I'm convinced he's able. That's the grace of God right there. He's able. Just say that out loud. Say he's able. He's able to keep that what I have committed to him until that day. If you've committed your life to Christ, if you have been identified with his death, burial, and resurrection, and you have called him your Lord, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10, I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. And you're living according to that. Even when you stumble along the way, I have good news to tell you. He's able to keep that which you committed to him until that day when we have no longer a struggle. Because guess what? You and I were created for eternity. You know, years ago when I first became a Christian, I used to go down to this Baptist church, had a youth band. And I used to go there because it's the biggest youth group anywhere around. And my youth group was small. So I would go down to their youth group every Thursday night or Wednesday night, I don't even remember. I would beg, borrow, get a ride. I mean, just beg people to drive me down there. I mean, my parents thought, okay, all right, get in the car, we'll take you down there. Because it was not convenient. It was not convenient. And I would go down there, and it was a lot of On Fire for God college students, mostly, and then some high school students. There might have been 150 people. It was called Joy Explosion. That's what it was called. And I mean, every week there was this band and they would sing this song. And one of the songs that they would sing was, I'm going to live forever because I was created for eternity. I'm going to live forever. When you've been born again, guess what? Eternity's settled for you. When you've been born again, you have an assurance that I know Christ. And when I do finally close my eyes to this world, I just wake up to a better one. We win. Even in death, we win. Amen. Notice what he says there in verse 13. Hold fast. In other words, hang on. Stay active in your life. Hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That the good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom is Phygelus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, who often refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chains. That's a glimpse into the fact that the Apostle Paul was not living a life on flowery beds of ease. It was not all smooth sailing. You know, I believe that God wants to prosper his people. I believe that he wants to keep you in health. But I also know that we still live in a fallen world and stuff happens, as Reverend Ennis says. Everybody has their stuff that they carry around or that they have to walk through. And sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's messy, and sometimes it's difficult. But that's where the grace of God, remember, it is the power, it's the passion of God doing inside of you what you can't do, and you can make it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can make it through whatever stuff you've got. Because guess what? We've all got it. Amen. Praise God. And then chapter 2, you know, a lot of times when we, actually, let's not go to chapter 2 quite yet. In talking about Onesiphorus, he says, he refreshed me. Do you know your Christian relationships are vital? And this is what we're talking about. When we're walking through 2 Timothy to see grace and truth in action, we're walking through these verses because I want you to see, these are not ancient verses that have no relevance to your life right now. They have relevance to you right now because the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it pierces even dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. The Word of God is alive, and it is not irrelevant, it is relevant to you right now. Well, we see the Apostle Paul going through difficult times. He mentions two people by name. That obviously there was a disconnect relationally and theologically. But then he also mentions Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus often refreshed me. Who in this church, who in your sphere of influence, your orbit, your world, do you have an opportunity to refresh? That's the grace of God, to refresh somebody else. To say, how can I help you? How can I help you? You know, sometimes people have that gift. It's the first thing you notice about them. It's the first thing you notice about them. That they have that gift to refresh. They have that gift to say, what can I do to help? And sometimes that gift is such a necessary gift. You know, they're not here so I can talk about them because they'd be uncomfortable if I did talk about them in front of them. They'll probably hear this later. But the Jacksons came and refreshed Pastor Christine and me. When they came to this church, they were like, whatever we need to do, we'll do. Now, these are people who have been senior pastors. They've been associate pastors. They've been youth pastors. And now they come to our church. And he looked at me the first time I met him. And he said, Pastor Doug, I'm not looking for a position. I'm looking for a family. And I said, well, welcome home. And people refresh each other. I can look around in this congregation and I can see different faces, how you have refreshed us. You know, the spiritual refreshing that Sister Valley gives when she greets you at the door and gives you a little scripture card or tells you what she's praying for you about. Money can't buy that kind of refreshing. That's the grace of God. That's refreshing. Verse 17, but when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out zealously and found me. I want to challenge you. Who could you seek out that maybe has not been able to come to this church because of the pandemic, because of situations, or maybe they don't go to church at all? Who could you seek out? Verse 17, who could you seek out zealously and say, what can I do to pray for you? How can I help you? What can I do to be a blessing to you? I'm telling you, there's an assignment right there for every one of us. Who are you going to zealously seek out this week? Maybe it's a face you have not seen in the congregation in a long time. Pick up the phone. People still do answer phone calls. Not as much as they used to, but they do. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. You know, so being a person of refreshing, that's something that the grace of God, that power inside of you doing, say, Pastor, I don't even know if I've got time. Listen, do you know how much time we waste? All of us. I'm not here to point a finger. All of us waste way too much time, especially on our devices. And if you're not a device person, God bless you. That means that you have the opportunity to spend more time with God and have that intimate yada connection, that intimate equation with God. I want to encourage you, all right? Chapter 2, verse 1. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the what?
Grace.
I hope you're seeing this theme all through here. The grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things that you heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Who are you teaching these things to? Who are you mentoring these things to? You know, Scripture tells us that, you know, young men should be mentoring other young men and that the ladies should be mentoring other ladies. I want you to think about that and say, Lord, am I supposed, is there somebody that I'm able to teach these things to? You know, and for years, when I was at a church early on in my walk with God, there were people that would be like, well, you know, we got to wait until that person goes through 14 classes before they get to do anything. And I thought, I don't think that's biblical. And as a youth minister, I used to give opportunity for kids to even preach. We would do something called tag team preaching. And I just wanted to know, is there any young people that would like to preach? And there was always a handful that they weren't necessarily called to be preachers, but they just wanted to try it out. I said, okay, we're going to do tag team preaching. We made it like a wrestling sport. It was fun. We had a big timer. We gave him 5 minutes. 5 minutes, and I said, you can share about anything from the gospel. Now, if they got really weird and didn't stay on the Bible, I had to get up and very nicely, gently pull it back into line. But most of them were already believers, so they were going to stick with the word. I didn't ask for a script ahead of time. I just said, Let's see. See, you can teach others no matter what you know. If you've been born again, you know that. So now you can teach somebody that. If you got touched from God, you know that. You can share that. You see, you don't have to wait until you're a 40-year-old Christian. And sometimes I think we have sold short the power of the gospel coming alive in somebody. Coming alive. The Apostle Paul almost immediately, you read his testimony, almost immediately began to share Christ with people. And people were afraid of him. Because this is the guy that was holding the cloak for Stephen. I mean, for all practical purposes, he was an accessory to murder. Breathing out murderous and terrible things. And now he has become a believer, and he's preaching the gospel. And the believers were like, I don't know if I trust this guy. The gospel works. And when we let it work, people grow. I'm so thankful that I didn't have somebody telling me I had to wait 3 years before I could share my faith. I started telling people. Oh, sometimes I got a little zealous. Sometimes I probably, well, let's just put it this way. I'm sure I did it wrong. My heart was right, but I did it wrong. Telling somebody that I really, really respected and getting on the phone and telling her she was going to hell and she was an atheist, it might not have been the best approach. But I kept a relationship even after that. I'm surprised that was the grace of God and the mercy of God. And she actually showed up at Christine and my wedding. And she heard the gospel one more time. Because at our wedding, there were several people that got saved.
Wow.
Because we gave an invitation. If you want to know Christ, that's what made our life special. We want you to know that. Kind of an awkward thing. Most people didn't think, they didn't know what to do with it. Our photographer got saved. He was behind a camera. Serious, it's a true story. He's behind a camera. The minister is giving the invitation at the end of our wedding before we're walking down the aisle. And he says, if you'd like to receive Christ, raise your hand. And we had a Canadian-French photographer. And he's behind the camera. He starts doing this to the preacher. He's supposed to be taking pictures for our wedding. We're paying him a lot of money. But he's like this. He's like, me. And he looked up. And the reason why I know he looked up is because I peeked. My wife says I'm a peeker. I've always been a peeker. And so I just want people to know Christ. And so the minister said, every head bowed, every eye closed. And he's like this, bright-eyed, smiling, I want to know this Jesus. And he received Christ at the end of the wedding. You don't have to know a lot to share what God's done for you. Has he been good to you?
Yes.
Has he been more than good to you?
Yes.
Then you have all that you need to open your mouth and share. Amen? You have all that you need. Amen. And so, therefore, be strong in that grace and the things you've heard from me. Verse 2. You must endure hardship as a good soldier. That we don't like to hear that. None of us like to hear the hardship part. Nobody wants to hear that. But listen, it's part of it. I remember one time I went to one of my mentors and I said to him, I was having a really rough time. And I was just, you know, I was in the ministry. I was having a rough time. There was some, you know, people were saying, you know, stuff and, you know, people talk. It doesn't matter if you're in the ministry, you're never exempt. And so stuff was happening and I went and I just kind of just unloaded. Have you ever done that to somebody? I just went, I let it all go. And this man has been in the ministry a long, long time. And he looked at me and he was going, Then he looked at me and he goes, get used to it. That was not the response I was looking for. You know, I was kind of younger in the ministry position that I was in at that time. And I go, well, what do you mean? He goes, it's part of the job description. Read it. I was like, oh, you're right. But what's going to get me through that? The grace of God. What's going to get you through enduring hardship? The grace of God. That power, that passion, that ability doing inside of you what you can't do yourself. That is what the gospel is working in your life. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Man, I'll tell you. The word of God's not changed. It's not chained, and it has not changed. It's not chained. In other words, it's not bound. That's the reason why getting involved in something like Voice of Martyrs or getting involved in a church that is an underground church is important. Why? Because the word of God gets into those places. One of the first things that you want to do in order to reach an unreached people group is you get the word of God in their language, and you get it to them even if it's illegal. And I remember in college, my heroes were the ones who were smuggling Bibles into the former Soviet Union. They were my heroes. And I knew several college students that would do that in the summertime. I mean, big burly guys, and they would wear pantyhose, true story, and baggy jeans, and they would stuff paperback Bibles into their legs. They'd walk kind of like this. And they'd walk across the border with 20 Bibles on their person. And then they would meet somebody else from the underground church, and they would unload those Bibles. And they were my heroes because they were practicing this kind of gospel I'm talking about. That they were so in love with Jesus that they were willing to suffer as an evildoer. They were willing to, you know, at one point, one of the guys actually got arrested. And he said, Doug, it was probably one of the scariest things in my life. He said, we got arrested. He says, it was like something out of a movie. We got pulled into a a little room with one little light bulb, guy shining a light in my face, speaking perfect English with no accent, and asking me, who's my contact? Who's your contact? Who's your contact? He said, I thought the guy was from Michigan. He said he was not from Michigan. He was from Leningrad. He was like, please, tell me who your contact is. He said, I didn't know what to do. Remember, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. He was afraid in his head, him and his friend. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, people who know their God, will do mighty exploits. And his friend vouched for the story, so they both vouched for each other. They said, no, this is a true story. Out of his mouth, he says, I heard myself tell him, I'll tell you who my contact is. And I said, who? He said, the Holy Spirit. That's who my contact is. The man interrogating him looked at him and said, who is this Holy Spirit and where does he live? Tell me about Holy Spirit. Where does he live? How did you get in contact with him? Well, I talked to him. You did. How did you talk to him? Where did you meet him? Well, I met him at the church. Which church? Finally, the man started getting exasperated. He says, you frustrate me. Go. Go. And he took these two college-age kids, and he drove them to the border, and he threw them back on the other side of the border. Don't come back. Who's your contact? Who's your contact, church family? Who's your contact? The Holy Spirit. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And you might be called to suffer as an evildoer. You might be called to suffer for the right things. But I have to tell you that God is able. He is able to give you that grace to bring you through regardless what you're going through. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers, but be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He's basically giving instruction to an early church, telling them, listen, don't get caught up in all the controversies. Church family, don't get caught up in the cultural controversies of today. Don't do it. Don't get sucked in to the controversies of today. Everybody has an opinion on everything, and Google makes you an expert on everything. People are going to be experts about your medical situation. People are going to be experts. Listen. If you Google WebMD, I told you this before, they'll have you 6 feet under just because you sneezed twice. We live in a generation of experts and people self-proclaimed experts. Don't get caught up in that. Fix your eyes on him, the author and the finisher of our faith. And as we close today, I want to go back to that verse where he says, that I am convinced, I am persuaded. Verse 12 of chapter 1. For this reason I suffer these things, from whom I have believed, verse 12, and am persuaded that he is able. He's able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. God is faithful. The grace of God is available to you. Who are you supposed to be zealously seeking out to bring a refreshing to this week? What would God do for you if you would just pull up close to him, because the people who know their God, they'll do great things for God. If you do it, if you try to do great things for God on your own, you'll get tired. Trust me, I've done it. Trying to do things in your strength, you'll get tired. You'll burn out. You will get frustrated. You'll get cranky. You'll stop walking in love. You'll start picking apart your brothers and sisters in Christ. But if you will rely on the strength of God, there is a time of refreshing for all of you. Let's stand. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand. Thank God. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, I pray for your people today that they would be refreshed as they walk in line with you and your word, as they put the grace of God into practice in their life, Lord, that that grace would empower them like never before. Father, the one that is going through a job situation or a family situation or a child situation or a financial situation, whatever the situation might be, God, I pray right now that grace would keep that which they've committed to you under you against that day. That you'll be faithful in it. That the grace of God will bring every person through under the sound of my voice. Those that are watching online, Father, in Jesus' name, be glorified in our midst, even if we have to suffer. Father, I thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, and I believe all of us are believers in here physically, but you might be watching online, and maybe you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says it this way, that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and you confess him as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. I want to encourage you that if you have not received Christ in your life, it's real simple. You pray a simple prayer, something like this. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is who he said he is, that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead. God, I call you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's you and you've done that, please message us. If you're here and you would like somebody to pray with you individually in depth, if you'd like somebody to pray with you regarding receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the power from on high, I want to encourage you. I'll be available to pray for you individually and in depth today. And I just want to tell you that we love you. We'll be back with you next week. And God bless each and every one of you. As we say our sending out verse, say this and make it a prayer over your life and over your family's life and over our church family. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for watching. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night and then next Sunday morning.